Welcome to the Coder Catch Up podcast. My name is Jamie Jones. In this episode, I want to talk about Vim. Now, I'm really big on people learning their editor. And this is really important. Like, if you are coding, any kind of coding, you really should know your editor inside and out. It should be part of you. You shouldn't have to think when you're using your editor. It should just be there completely in muscle memory. So it's very, very important. And I found Vim to be the editor for me. Now, it doesn't mean it's going to be the editor for you, but it's certainly definitely one checking out. Now, at the same time, even though I use Vim and I'm a massive Vim fan, it does not mean that it's the only editor I use. I do play around with Atom. I used to be a Sublime Text user. I've used TextMate. I've used Dreamweaver even. I've used it. We've got Coda as well. I've used Espresso. There's a whole bunch. I've just found that Vim has worked personally for me very, very well as a text editor. Now, there are IDEs, so you're looking at like PHP Storm, WebStorm, RubyMine, etc., those kind of things as well. And I've used all those, but I do keep coming back to Vim. Like, I'd play around with Vim, and I eventually dived into Vim when I started my new job for where I'm currently at Copyright, or a design, print, and web company. But Vim, since going full time with Vim, I really haven't looked back. It's kind of gives me the best world as of a text editor as well as an IDE, and it's portable. I can use it on pretty much any platform, anywhere, even on servers, because I do work on servers as well. So having Vim there, it's just nice to know that. So this is kind of like, I've titled this episode Back to the Future with Your Editor, because Vim actually is a very old editor. Surprisingly, I think it was like in the 1970s or something ancient. It was called VI, and really old text editor. And it still proves to be a fantastic tool. You know, it's like a hammer. There's not much going to replace a hammer, really. A hammer is a fantastic tool. It hasn't really changed much over time. It's pretty much the same mechanics, everything. There's nothing really different about a hammer, and I see Vim is kind of like that. You know, it can do everything. It hasn't really changed. It's tried and tested, and it works. This is why I really love it. The other thing too is there's things coming in the future with it, but I'll talk about that shortly. The thing with the editor is it's very nimble, and you can customize it to whatever you like. You know, it has its own scripting language as well, so it's called Vim Script. So anything you want to do, you can actually do with Vim. You can script it, kind of like you can script Atom now. So before, you didn't have editors that you could script, but Atom, he can script because it's built on Node. But Vim kind of gives you the best of all worlds, seeing as it's cross-platform, whatnot, and it's very lightweight. Now, you might ask why I choose Vim. You know, I've got a nice Retina MacBook Pro, and I'm using this Vim text editor most of the time. Kind of overkill, maybe. but it really does come down to productivity. Now, most things in Vim with the editor are single keys. This is really, really handy. When you don't have to reach down to control something, it makes a big difference. That's one less keystroke you have to make. It's one less awkward movement you need to make. It's really efficient in terms of getting things done, right? Now, being able to simply go and, you know, press one key and have it do something is very, very productive. Like, I can't really stress how important that aspect of it is. It's not something I can really explain. You need to actually try it. That's where you're really going to get the, oh, I see why now. Now, it does have its pain points. So learning Vim, this is probably the biggest thing, is people say it's hard to learn. It is, but it isn't. Now, if you want to go and try out Vim and you want to get to where it's just like your normal code editor, all you have to do is press the I key and boom, you're into editing mode. That's just, you're back to your normal editor. You can do whatever you want. So Vim has a concept of different modes. So they've got a command mode, an insert mode, a visual mode, a normal mode. I think that's all the modes. Most of the time, you want to be living in normal mode, because then you can use what are called motions, and you can do crazy things about moving stuff around and toggling between visual mode. But essentially, you want to be in insert mode as short amount of time as possible and back out of it. And that's where the productivity gains come from. The other thing too is it promotes using HJKL as the navigation keys. Now, hopefully, as coders and touch typing, you might have to look down, but you should know that they're on the home row. These are home row keys, so where your fingers sit, you don't really have to travel much. Like, there's next to no travel as opposed to going down to the arrow keys. Now, you might think, oh, it only takes me a second to go down the arrow keys, but think about how much you're using arrow keys, like moving up and down in a text editor if you do use the keyboard, which hopefully you do because it should be quicker. That time adds up. You know, you could be spending minutes a day, you know. Hours end up coming out through the year, and, you know, if you can save hours, that's pretty important. You can get more code done, be more productive. The other thing, too, is it saves travel. This is one thing I really love is we're coding and we're doing tons and tons of lines of code every single day. And if you add up all the lines of code that you write a year, it'd blow your mind. It's crazy. Spending so much time, it can lead to things like RSI and arthritis and things like that. So being able to keep the movement and the amount of keystrokes that I need to do as low as possible allows me to code for longer and give me more longevity in terms of like pain-free kind of work. Now, that's not quite short-term. It's more so long-term. But, you know, I love this. I want to do this for the rest of my life kind of thing. I don't see that changing. This is what I love to do, which I'm sure most of you are in the same boat. But being able to make sure that I can keep doing this for a long period of time really helps me. Now, it doesn't mean that I'm going to stick with Vim for the rest of my life. Something else might come along. For example, there is actually NeoVim, which is actively in development. It's kind of like a newer version of Vim. So we had VI, which is the original Vim. Then we have Vim now, which actually stands for Vim Improved or VI Improved. So that's Vim as we know it today, and it's still being developed. But then there's NeoVim, which is kind of updating it for the now as opposed to previously, because even Vim itself is old. It's not as old as VI, obviously, but it's NeoVim's the newer hotness. So that's pretty interesting. So it's something that I really like to use simply because of the productivity gains, the kind of health benefits that you see from it and things like that. The other thing that I was saying, how it's kind of like my ID as well, it's very customizable with the Vim scripts as well as just plugins. There's so many plugins to do things. Yeah, it's fantastic in that regard. And you're going to be able to go a long way with simple plugins. And they're very easy to add and remove. It makes sense. When you play around with the plugins and try them out, it really makes sense. It's kind of the best of everything that I've found. Nothing's kind of even come close to it. Memory usage is low. There's no real spikes in memory and things like that. It's just nice. There's all the kind of syntax themes that you want and, you know, general themes for Vim itself. There's lots and lots there for you. Now, here comes the tricky part. Really giving it a go. If you're going to try it out, you need to give it a go. You need to just go, okay, for the next, say, I wouldn't say a week. Give it at least bare minimum 2 weeks full time usage, and really, really make sure you commit to it if you're going to try it out. I recommend there's some resources out there. If you Google Vim cheat sheet, there's a PDF which you can print out or, you know, put somewhere. It shows you all the single key commands as well as the other upper and lower case keys. Back on the single key, there's also, for every single key, you hold down shift and there's an uppercase version. Some really handy stuff there as well, but just thought I'd throw that in. With the cheat sheet, it's really good, but I'd probably make a note as you go and you're slowly learning, you want to know how to do something, find out how to do it, write it down in a smaller note, like closer to where you're going to be typing, so you can easily review just that new little thing. And then try and keep working that into your workflow. Once it's more natural, find out another thing and then focus on that, and you'll slowly build up the things. Because I probably only know, I'd say, a real small amount of Vim in terms of what other people know, but there's so much you can do with it. It's so powerful. There's so much to learn. But the small amount that I've learned allows me to do my job even better than when I was working in Sublime. So huge benefits there. The other thing I'd recommend too is running Vim Tutor. So Vim Tutor is kind of like an interactive tutorial using Vim to learn Vim. You can run through Vim Tutor really quickly. You can do it in shorter than your lunch break. Very, very simple. You just go into your terminal and run Vim Tutor, and boom, you're into ready to go. And it kind of walks you through how do you do everything. Highly recommend that one. I'd recommend that before even looking at anything online. That's probably my biggest thing. People tend to dive in and have a look online, then they get overwhelmed. Really, just look at Vim Tutor and try that. And as I said, once you've run through Vim Tutor, maybe even do it a few times, print out that cheat sheet, which is just like it's like a keyboard with all the different letters and what they do. And then, yeah, write down notes as to things you want to learn how to do, and just add one at a time and learn how to do that part. But definitely give it a good shot. Now, if it doesn't work out for you, that's fine. You know, keep going with your editor. As I said, me personally, I still try out other editors and I'll play around with them. Like I was just playing around with Adam the other day. I did a little bit of work in that. It's your tool set. You want to focus and get something that you know and are really happy with, but at the same time, you can't be complacent and not, you know, be like, oh, I'm not going to try this because I love this editor. You know, you could actually be better in another editor. There's no one editor fits all, so that's just really important to know there. So yeah, definitely check it out. Now, main things that I've found that are tricky, essentially, is customizing your Vim. Now, out of the box, Vim, it doesn't do certain things like showing line numbers or setting a syntax for files automatically. So if you really want to get up and running with something that's not vanilla Vim, so you got a lot of the niceties, I recommend checking out Janus. Now, Janus is like a distribution of Vim that kind of has all this awesome stuff already baked in that you're pretty much going to use a lot. Now, there is a ton of plugins and stuff it adds. It does add a bit of bloat to Vim, but it has all your niceties there, and it's very well documented as well. I originally started off with Janus myself, and I've eventually gone back to vanilla Vim, brought in some of the things that I've found useful from Janus, and then kept my other stuff that I'd added over time to it in itself. So if you really want to get a jump start, you can use Janus, but I would recommend doing vanilla Vim and just finding the little bits of config that you need and you can bring in bit by bit. It'll give you a better config file, which I actually haven't spoken about. So Vim actually has a .dot file, which you can take anywhere. You can put in a version control or whatnot, and it has all your settings, everything in it. Really, really good there. That makes it even more portable. You can literally, if you use Nitrous for coding online, or if you're on a server and you want all your same settings and stuff like that, all you have to do is bring in that .vimrc file, and boom, you're ready off to go again. It's that simple. So that's really handy. But that's it. That's all I have for Vim. It's an old editor, but it's tried and true. It works. It is fantastic. I highly recommend it. Yeah, check it out. I really, really recommend it. But as I said, don't just try it out for a day or a week. You know, give it at least 2 weeks full time. Don't go back to your other editor. Full 2 weeks, bare minimum. Try it out. I think you'll be quite surprised. But that's it. I'd love to know your thoughts, though. Are you a Vim user? You know, why do you love it? What problems do you have with it? If you have tried in the past, are you willing to try it again? Or have you recently switched to Vim? You know, what are you finding with it? Anything like that? I'd love to know your feedback on it. Please do let me know. You can send through a tweet to @CodaCatchup on Twitter. You can send an email to me, CodaCatchup@gmail.com, or you can even leave a comment on CodaCatchup.com for this episode. I do answer all questions and reply to everything, so please do send them through. You'll get a reply generally within 24 hours at the latest, so send them in. Now, if you do have a chance, please leave a rating or review in iTunes. I'd really, really appreciate that. It helps me get some feedback from everyone and just see how the podcast is tracking, as well as it gives some insight to other people who might find the podcast helpful. And last but not least, make sure you subscribe and keep on hacking. I think I stole that from Travis from DevTips, but it's a really good saying to keep on hacking. So shout out to DevTips too. Like, if you have not checked out the DevTips YouTube channel or Travis Nelson, check him out. Fantastic designer, developer, really, really awesome. So check him out, and yeah, we'll catch you in the next episode.